Stay tuned now for Edward R. Murrow with the News, presented by Hams. H-A-M-M-S. Hams. Yes, Hams, America's most refreshing beer, brings you America's favorite newscaster, Edward R. Murrow. Looks refreshing, tastes refreshing, is refreshing. Hams, America's most refreshing beer, from the land of the sky blue waters. Have a Hams when you want real refreshment. Ask for Hams wherever fine beer is sold. It's America's most refreshing beer, Hams. And now, Edward R. Murrow.
This is the news. United Nations troops are now under heavy attack in a town called Chipyong in central Korea. Chipyong is 20 miles west of the town of Hwonsan, which we abandoned last night. Our troops fell back to the south. Wanju is 10 miles away and established a defense line in the area. Just where, we're not told. The enemy attack to the west at Chipyong is designed to break through to a highway which would cut our forces in two. Farther west, in the Seoul area, there have been no major developments. General MacArthur inspected the area today and then on his return to Tokyo told reporters, "We are continuing a war of maneuver. We have no idea of holding a fixed line in Korea or trying to seize territory in the north. If we cross the 38th parallel, it will be only in patrol actions. We have to kill a lot more communists or get a lot more United Nations help before we can beat the enemy. The future," said General MacArthur, "depends on international decisions that have not yet been made." The general announced today that the commander of 630 Dutch volunteers has been killed in action in Korea. In Washington, Army Chief of Staff Collins acknowledged today that most communist breakthrough attacks have been directed at the South Koreans. He said they lack experience and have an inferiority complex in the presence of the veteran Chinese troops. An Army spokesman said today that some National Guard units, smaller than division strength, are now in the Far East. He didn't say if they're in combat, and he wouldn't identify the outfits. The United Nations General Assembly today followed the lead of its political committee and voted down two Russian demands to condemn us as aggressors against Formosa and to condemn us for air attacks on Chinese territory along the North Korean border. In Hong Kong, Chinese shore batteries fired on a small British tanker, wounded two of its officers. The tanker was just outside British territorial waters when it was attacked. The communist Chinese and the Moscow radio are exchanging best wishes tonight, the first anniversary of the Chinese-Russian alliance. Moscow's Literary Gazette says this friendship of great equals is indestructible and eternal, a bridge linking revolutionary Europe with revolutionary Asia. In Washington, Senator Johnson of Texas told the Armed Services Committee that there is a great and immediate need for drafting 18-year-olds now, unless Congress wants to call up fathers and veterans. Draft Director Hershey has ordered local draft boards to give draft-age students 30 days after the end of the school year to pick their own branch of the service. This affects only students whose induction was delayed to permit them to finish the school year. General Hershey also says there's no need to draft women now. More are volunteering than the armed services can use. Democratic Senator McCarran of Nevada and Republican Senator Bridges of New Hampshire say some of our European allies may not give us real military cooperation. They say it's evident that some of them will claim that domestic problems make it impossible for them to make the proper economic sacrifices for defense. The government today granted Spain a loan of a little over $12 million for cotton, fertilizer, a fertilizer plant, and tractors and parts. Interior Secretary Chapman says we have nearly reached the bottom of the barrel in some of our natural resources. He says we've dug deep into our mineral deposits, drained off much of our petroleum, depleted many of our forests, and he adds, we can never again afford to gorge and waste. The chief of the Navy's nuclear research program, Dr. Erner Liddell, said today that the so-called flying saucers are nothing but plastic balloons used in cosmic ray research. And William Webster, chairman of the Research and Development Board, says there is nothing to flying saucers. Mr. Webster also told reporters, everybody knows there will be an atomic artillery shell someday. South Carolina today formally discarded the poll tax when the General Assembly ratified a constitutional amendment approved by the voters last year. Here in New York, Senate crime investigators say they have been told an amazing story of police gambler tie-in at Saratoga Springs, a gambling resort near Albany. Senator Toby says a detective told the senators he acted as a sort of bodyguard in helping gamblers take their ill-gotten gains to the banks. The senator says a high official suppressed a state police report 3 years ago. In northern Italy today, there were more resignations from the Communist Party. A total of 13 communist leaders have now quit because they say we cannot be loyal to Italy and to Moscow. In western Germany, 7 condemned German war criminals are due to be hanged any day. But American authorities have forbidden reporters to cover the hangings. Now, there is no explanation, but the authorities may fear demonstrations. The so-called great debate about the sending of American troops to Europe continues. But the gap is narrowing. The president has tended to withdraw from his original position that he would station American armies in peacetime, wherever he wanted to, regardless of what Congress thought of it. Many of his critics have given ground and are now talking about limiting divisions or setting up a percentage arrangement. The debate has been more Republican against Republican than Democrat against Republican. It has now reached the point where Republican Senator Wherry says those who are willing to approve a limited number of troops for Europe are compromisers. That, of course, is what Republican Senator Taft is now prepared to do. So that it would appear that in Senator Wherry's views, Senator Taft is a compromiser. It gets a little confusing. The Republican spokesmen have seldom been more divided on an issue than they are on this one. There is no dispute about the proposition that we will go to war with Russia if Western Europe is attacked. The debate hasn't been about that. It is now narrowed to how many troops, how fast, and the president's authority to move them. This is not exactly a new issue. In July of 1941, when the Senate was debating the Atlantic Pact, Senator Wherry proposed an amendment, saying in effect that we would not be obligated to provide any military assistance. That was defeated 21-64. Then Senator Watkins of Utah proposed another amendment to limit the president's power to send troops to the North Atlantic area without congressional approval. That was defeated 84-11. So in one sense, this so-called great debate is a revival of the one of last July. On the basis of the published statement so far, there is no reason to think that the Senate will divide very much differently this time than it did the last time. The result of the vote, after public hearings that begin the day after tomorrow, ought to provide some measure of Senator Taft's leadership of his party in the field of foreign affairs. It seems to me that a more interesting and perhaps urgent area for debate was opened up by Governor Dewey's speech of last night. For whatever happens, however many troops we send or don't send to Western Europe, we are committed to fight the Russians if they attack there. Governor Dewey proposed a sort of Monroe Doctrine for what remains of the free world. He wants Greece and Turkey brought into the North Atlantic Pact, and he wants decisions taken now as to what we will do if the Russians invade Iran. He believes that Russia plans to move on Yugoslavia this year, and he wants us to decide what we will do in that event and to say it in advance. Here is a proposal for a vast extension of our commitments and responsibilities, where no formal decision has yet been taken, as it has been in the case of Western Europe. The question as to what we do in the event of an attack upon the West is settled. We fight. We're committed to it. The argument is merely over where and with what weapons we fight. The decision as to what we do in the event of an attack upon Yugoslavia or Iran has not been settled. This creates, if not a vacuum, at least an area of uncertainty. Governor Dewey wants to remove that uncertainty, and with it, what he regards as the possibility that the Russians might move, having misread our intentions, and thereby land us in an almost accidental war. Here is a great area for debate, a proposal of new responsibilities, which might well be decisive. The continuation of this present so-called great debate is merely a combination of politics and an argument about grand strategy in an area where we are already committed, where the decision has already been taken. We have rather fallen into the habit of blaming the communists, particularly those in Europe, for most of our difficulties. Here, by way of some slight contrast, is the story of how one of the richest men in France has thrown a monkey wrench into the establishment of General Eisenhower's permanent headquarters. The headquarters for SHAPE, Supreme Headquarters, Allied Powers in Europe, had been personally approved by General Eisenhower and endorsed by the French government. The site would seem to be about ideal, just off the national highway that runs from Paris to Versailles, about 10 miles out of the city, far enough away for security purposes, yet near enough for close liaison with the Marshall Plan headquarters located in Paris itself. Contracts for the purchase of this property were to have been signed 2 weeks ago. It is owned by Marcel Boussac, a textile magnate, world-famous breeder of racehorses, whose colors were first across the line in both the British and French derbies last year. Dave Schoenbrunn cables me from Paris that a fair price for the land was offered, although money is presumably secondary to Boussac, who is king of the textile industry in France. His representative seemed quite satisfied with the project at first, but then came the stalling, the objecting, and the delaying. The French authorities are right displeased with Boussac. They, of course, have the power to requisition the land, but this would require legal action and might cause prolonged delay. The French officials are trying to pressure Boussac into closing the deal at a fair price before General Eisenhower returns. Presumably, there is a moral in all this somewhere. This is Ed Murrow. I'll be back in a moment with the word for today.
There's just no denying it. Certain parts of the country are blessed with a perfect combination of elements that definitely produce a better product. When I mention the state of Washington, for instance, I'll bet that many of you think of apples, those big, rosy-cheeked Washington apples, which seem to be just a little crisper, a little sweeter, a little juicier. And all over America these days, when people think of the land of the sky-blue waters, they're also reminded of Ham's beer. For here in this enchanted land, three generations of brewing skill, working with the choicest ingredients, have captured the special zest and personality of the land of the sky-blue waters itself. Ham's is truly America's most refreshing beer. It looks refreshing, like dancing gold in your glass. And it tastes refreshing, light and crisp, with smoothness aged in. Tonight, discover the rare individuality that is Ham's and Ham's alone. Refreshingly yours, from the land of the sky-blue waters. Now, Edward R. Murrow.
Why does the statement of a new fact always leave us cold? Because our minds have to take in something which deranges our old ideas. We are all like that in this miserable world. That was written by James A. Charcot 100 years ago. Sidney Smith said, "The best way of answering a bad argument is to let it go on." While Elbert Hubbard reminded us, if you lose an argument, you can still call your opponent names. Good night and good luck.
Edward R. Murrow and the News is brought to you by Ham's, America's most refreshing beer, brewed by the Ham Brewing Company of St. Paul, Minnesota. Looks refreshing, tastes refreshing, is refreshing. Ham's, brewed in the land of the sky-blue waters. For real refreshment, have a Ham's, America's most refreshing beer, Ham's. Listen tomorrow, tomorrow. Larry Alexander speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.